Amen. Brother Jack, it's good to see you this morning. Did you make it for Sunday school? You did. Amen. Good. I prayed for you. Brother Jack's got some real inner ear problems. And if you see him walking out of here holding the walls up, you'll know why. Working on that thing, getting that thing right. Amen. Good to see Doyce and Sandy this morning. Amen. If y'all knew all the work that was already lined out for y'all when you get here, you may not pray so hard about coming back. Amen. We heard about that. Amen. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Got a hole upstairs just waiting on y'all to get back. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Please don't think me sacrilegious. I'm going to set my Bible right here. I actually printed out all the verses that I'm going to use this morning. And so, you know, whether it's from a white piece of paper or bound in this, it's God's Word. Amen. I've got them all right here. There's something to be said for reliability and dependability and faithfulness. I've often heard it said, as you have, I'm sure, that the greatest ability is availability, dependability, and reliability. Amen? A lot to be said about that. Just think about it for a minute. What if the roller coasters at Six Flags, and I know some of y'all would say, well, I don't ride them anyway, but I do occasionally, and I know these guys do, and there's a lot of you that do, but what if the roller coasters at Six Flags was known to jump tracks, not often, but just sometimes? Probably wouldn't be a very big crowd on the weekends or any time as far as that goes. How would you like to have the job as a parachute packer? Talk about stressful. I mean, I understand that, I guess that when they do it, they don't really know who's they're packing or. But what if you knew? I mean, and what if you were the jumper? And what if you knew that this one particular company packed your chutes? And what if you knew before you got up in the plane that this particular company that packed your chute had about an 85% success rate? I mean, there's a lot to be said for reliability, amen? Dependability. And these things do happen from time to time, but, you know, the ratio is so minuscule, it's you know, you can't really say that they're unreliable, but it does happen from time to time. But dependability is pretty high about that stuff. On the afternoon of September 18th, 1870, members of the Washburn-Langford-Doan expedition traveled down the Firehole River from the Kepler Cascades, and they entered the upper geyser basin. And the first geyser that they saw was called, later on, about a year later, they named it Old Faithful. Eruptions. I read some statistics about this. It's amazing. Eruptions can shoot 3,700 to 8,400. Or let me say it another way, 3,700 to 8,400 gallons of water. Boiling water to a height. How many of you have ever seen Old Faithful? I've never seen that. I would love to see. I mean, after reading, I thought it was just, you know, a spout, you know, but 8,400 gallons of water, boiling water, to a height of 106 to 185 feet, lasting from 1.5 to 5 minutes. Now, when they first found it, the eruptions actually lasted up to 20 minutes. But it wasn't as predictable then. But there have been some things. Well, let me just read. I'll get to that. Eruptions often occur about 90 minutes apart. But this interval can range from 45 to 125 minutes on occasion. Over the years, the length of the interval has increased, which may be the result of earthquakes affecting subterranean water levels, da 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 da. These disruptions have, in fact, made Old Faithful more predictable. So with a margin error of about 10 minutes, Old Faithful will erupt 65 minutes after an eruption lasting less than 2.5 minutes, or 91 minutes after an eruption lasting more than 2.5 minutes. Now, here's an interesting fact. I really like this, because if I wanted to tie this in with, you know, if I was going to preach a message on Old Faithful and make the announcement, boy, this is great. The reliability of Old Faithful can be attributed to the fact, watch this, that it is not connected to any other thermal features. It stands on its own. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, that's just good to know. Old Faithful is Old Faithful because it doesn't rely on anybody else. Amen. But Old Faithful is not the largest or the tallest geyser at Yellowstone. Most people didn't know that. That title belongs to another geyser. Does anybody know what that geyser is? Anybody know the name of it? Nobody. Well, the name of that geyser that's larger and shoots water higher than Old Faithful, the name of it is the Steamboat Geyser. But nobody knew that. You know why nobody knew that? Because it's unpredictable. Because you can sit there for an hour, or 2 hours, or 8 hours, or you can camp out for a week and you may never see it. But when you do see it, it's something to see, I reckon. But it's unpredictable, and so the bigger and the better, nobody knows about it. If you're looking with me in your Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter 7, look with me in verse 6. I want to read several verses. And I'm not going to preach on my faithfulness and your faithfulness, and because God knows that all of us can need improvement in that area. I mean, all of us do. There's none of us who can say, well, I'm as faithful a person as I can be. No, all of us have room to improve. I don't want to talk about our faithfulness. I want to talk about His faithfulness. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. I'll read several verses. The Bible said in verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." I love this verse. Look at this. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face." Verse 9 again. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." I want to preach this morning on the faithful God. And the thought I want to provoke and the question I want us to answer this morning is, how do I respond to the faithfulness of God? I don't think there's anybody in the room this morning who would charge God with unfaithfulness. All of us, I don't have to convince you of that fact. I believe everybody in here would say, yeah, I believe God's faithful. If you were a child of God, you would take into consideration the rising of the sun and setting of the same. You take into consideration the orbiting of our solar system. All these doctors and scientists and there's a lot to be said. I thank God for them. I thank God for people who have PhDs and who have studied these things out more than I have. But when you say that a Big Bang has started our solar system, I want them to explain then why is it then that some of the planets in our solar system are orbiting in different directions. Something to think about. The continuous beating of our heart, that's something we would take into consideration. Now, I did this, and it just blew my mind. Some of you probably already knew this, but I never really sat down and thought it out. But an average in-shape middle-aged person, which leaves out most of us, but the average in-shape middle-aged person, their heart beats 75 times per minute at rest. That means it's 4,500 beats per hour. Or 108,000 beats per day. Or 756,000 beats per week. Or 39,312,000 beats every year. And if you live to be 50 and you stay in relatively good health, that is 1,950,000,000 beats of your heart. I'd say God's pretty faithful. But on the spiritual side of things, unique among all the books ever written, the Bible accurately foretells specific events in detail many years and sometimes centuries before they ever occur. Approximately 2,500 prophecies in the pages of the Bible, about 2,000 of which have already been fulfilled to the letter. No errors. the remaining 500 or so reach into the future, and they may be seen even unfolding even to this day. Since the probability, again, I didn't work this up. Somebody much smarter than I already had to figure this out. Since the probability for any one of these prophecies having been fulfilled by chance averages less than 1 in 10, figured very conservatively, and since the prophecies are for the most part independent of one another, the odds for all of these prophecies having been fulfilled by chance, without error, is less than 1 in 10 to the 2,000th power. That's one with 2,000 zeros after it. And yet we can point to 2,000 that have been fulfilled to the letter. The reliability and the faithfulness and the dependability of God is not in question. Amen? If you're here this morning and you don't claim to be a Christian, if you've never called on God to save you from your sins, my purpose for you this morning is to try to convince you through the testimony of Scripture and through the testimony of God's people that He is the faithful God. He is the faithful God. There's three areas that I'd like for us to observe for just a few moments. First of all, I want us to say amen to the fact that He is the faithful God when our hearts are blessed. When our heart, that word just means happy. Amen. When our hearts are blessed, and it's not hard for us to say amen when things are going right. Amen. I mean, it wasn't hard for Job to say praise God when the cows were in the field and the cows were in the barn, the crops were in the field, and the kids were in the house. Now, he may have found it a little more difficult to say it after all these things transpired, but man, as long as everything was good, yeah, I mean, I would too. All of us in here would say, blessed be the name of the Lord, praise God, glory, hallelujah. We would just, praise the faithfulness of God when our hearts are blessed. He is the faithful God. It's not hard for us to amen that truth this morning. Truth be told, none of us give Him the credit He deserves, nor the glory due His name. In fact, we probably take more credit for things that go right in our life than we ought to. Amen. I mean, just as God's children, we ought to just have a fit and fall in it sometimes over the goodness of God. Just praise Him, just praise Him just because He's good. He's faithful. Never lets us down. No child of God in here would deny James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. We know who butters our bread, don't we, Brother Kirk? Amen. We may not shout it from the housetops all the time, but we know who butters our bread. Amen. I know exactly who allowed me to be born in the USA. And for those of you who weren't born here, God allowed you to get here. Amen. Greatest country upon the face of the earth. Amen. I believe that. And I thank God for that. God's good. He's faithful. He allowed me. Now, not everybody can brag on that, but I can. And I don't begrudge that. I'm glad I'm here. Amen. I'm an American Christian. Amen. I mean, I'd be glad to be a Christian anywhere, but I'd whole lot rather be an American Christian right now than really, let's see, where are they having upheaval? Where's the worst upheaval? See? Amen. I'd whole lot rather be an American Christian than an Afghan Christian this morning, living in Afghanistan. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. You know, we know who gives us strength to get up in the morning. And we may not rise up in the morning, any of us. I mean, probably a very few of us woke up this morning and said, God, thank You for strength. Thank You, Lord, that You allowed me to throw my legs over the side of the bed. But we ought to. And I'm not getting on us for naught, because the fact is, I didn't get up this morning and say, Lord, thank You for throwing my leg over the bed this morning. I didn't do it. But we know who gives us the strength. We recognize, we acknowledge the fact that it's God that gives us the strength to do it every morning, don't we? We know that. I thank God, and we know that that it's God who gave me eyes to see and ears to hear and mouth to speak and legs to walk. In fact, there's probably everybody in here from time to time, we'll get down on our face and God will overwhelm us with that fact. Every now and then we probably get down and say, Lord, thank You that I can see. Thank You, Lord, that I can talk. Especially when we come into the presence of somebody who can't. Amen? We just thank God. He's the faithful God. He's the faithful God. And I want to recognize, hey, you know what? I don't need a 911 or a September 11th, if you will, for me to raise a flag and say, God bless America. I don't need something tragic for me to recognize God has blessed America. God's faithful. Amen? God's faithful. It's a shame if a 911 has to happen to wake the nation up for, if only for a few minutes. It's God who gives me the ability to think and to reason. I recognize that fact this morning. It's God who does that. God gave me a brain. I thank God that I can. You know, there are some in our congregation this morning who can't. And it doesn't mean God loves us more or loves them less. Not at all. In fact, God may favor them a little more than us. But the fact of the matter is, I'm grateful that God did give me the ability to think. He did give me the ability to reason this morning. Sets me apart from the dog and the hog, amen? I ain't seen any monkeys out there lined up trying to get a job, filling out applications, amen? I realize that any measure of success in business I have God to thank. The Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy 8:18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." And in Psalm 75, verse 5, "Lift not up your horn on high." He said, don't toot your own horn. "Lift not up your horn on high and speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." He said, don't toot your own horn. Don't brag on yourself just because you got that raise or you got that promotion. God did that for you. God gave you the ability to think. God gave you the ability to come up with that mathematical equation to make you look good in front of the boss. God's the one that gives you strength every morning to get up. Amen. God got you that job. That's what He's saying. Don't brag on yourself. Don't toot your own horn. Don't get a stiff neck and a stiff upper lip and say, see what I did. Hey, where's Kai? I bragged on him this morning. Where's Kai? Is he in junior church? I bragged on him this morning. Of course, his dad's been bragging on him for a week. No, no. Amen. And he ought to. Amen. He bragged on him this morning. Bragged on him last night. Said, number one in the nation for all time. Quarterback, six-man football quarterback in the nation. In the nation. I bragged on him this morning. Bragged on him in the youth group, in the youth class. Bragged on him. And we ought to brag on him. As long as he doesn't forget, it's God that gave him strength. It's God that gave him the ability to do that. Amen? It's God that did that. Our God, the faithful God. I like that. Our God, the faithful God. I mean, and when I say the faithful God, it's just like saying the merciful God, the gracious God, the holy God. You see, faithful is an attribute just like holiness. It's who He is. And whatever God is, He's that in its perfection. You can't add to it and you can't take from it. See, God's faithful and He can't be less faithful or more faithful. He is perfectly faithful. He is the faithful God. And so I want to ask you this morning, before I move on to my second observation, when was the last time that we just flat praised Him for being God? Amen? I mean, it's probably been a while. And when the invitation is given this morning, brethren, if nothing else, if God don't get hold of our heart over anything else this morning, we ought to just flood the altar and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for a blank, 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 blank. And I read off some things here this morning. And look, if you can't thank Him for everything, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, amen? 9 out of 10 ain't bad. Thank God. I can name 1,000 things to be thankful for, and I can look at one blemish in my life over here and major on it. God help us. Amen. Say amen right there. God help us for majoring on the one minor when we got all of these positives over here. Majoring on the one negative when we got all these positives over here. God, the faithful God. The faithful God. Thank God for Him. He's faithful. Faithful God. He is the faithful God when our hearts are blessed, when we're happy. But now bear with me now, hang on. He's the faithful God when our hearts are backslidden too. Amen. You didn't think it was all going to be cream, did you? He's faithful when our hearts are backslidden. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, "But the anointing..." Now follow me here, because there's a teachable moment right here. "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you." Sounds like He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "And you need not that any man teach you." Why? Because He said that He would teach you. "But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." God is faithful, even when we're backslidden. You know, I'm glad that God doesn't stop being God when I stop acting like a Christian. God didn't say, when I messed up last week, "Think I'm going to put you in Afghanistan." I thank God He didn't. I thank God that when I messed up, God didn't say, blind. I thank God that He didn't stop being God when I stopped acting like a Christian. Which happens about 47 times a day, depending on how many times I'm on the road. Amen. Depending on whether I'm on 35 or 820. West 820. If I'm on East 820, it's 147 times a day. I hate Loop East 20. You know, 820 East. Hate it. It's the devil lives over there. I mean, he runs the freeway on East Loop. Just terrible. And the Holy Spirit, 9 times out of 10, is on West Loop. That's why I go that way. Just as free and clear. I'm so glad I can go home that way every day. Yet I tell you what, I am afraid that many of us will be ashamed before Him at His coming. Many of us today, and I'm not going to major here, but just it was a thought that I had. I want you to bear with me for a few minutes, because it really does, it contrasts and emphasizes the faithfulness of God when you really look at our unfaithfulness. And again, I didn't want to major on our unfaithfulness, but in order to contrast and to emphasize it, let me bring it out just for a moment. And we're all guilty. I don't set myself up on a pedestal as the epitome of faithfulness and spirituality. We all have room to improve. Amen. Every one of us. Every single one of us. Yet I'm afraid many of us, myself included, will be ashamed at His coming. Many of us, we put so many things before God, as the Word of God says in Revelation, we've left. We didn't lose. We left our first love. We left our first love. How many of us can say with an uplifted hand? No, let's don't. How many of us can say, really, if I ask for an uplifted hand, how many of us could say, I'm just as excited, just as zealous, just as on fire for God today as I was when I got saved 25 years ago? Amen, brother. That's Brother Todd, wasn't it? Amen. Not many of us, could we? Not many of us. We left. We left our first love. I've become more dignified. No, you come backslidden. Amen. I'm more refined now. No, you're not. We're backslidden. But God's still faithful, still loves us. And the wonderful and the shameful thing about it is that His love has not diminished one iota. In spite of our unfaithfulness, in spite of our backslidden, many of us will put things before God this week. We'll put sleep in front of prayer. We'll read the daily news instead of the good news. We'll put Sunday night football this coming month instead of Sunday night service. May I say unto you, that's why they make TVR. Amen. Thank God for TVR. And I don't know what your favorite program is on Wednesday night. I like a couple of them. And I always make sure I record them. Because I got a couple on there that I like on Wednesday night. But I'm not going to miss church for it. But some of us will. We'll be ashamed at His coming because we've put pool parties ahead of God. We've put soccer games ahead of God. We've put football games ahead of God. And baseball games ahead of God. And I wrote down here what kind of mixed up signals, and I'm going to scratch that out because they're really not mixed up. They're actually pretty clear. What kind of crystal clear signals are we sending to our kids when we say it's okay to miss church for sports? Oh, me. The fact is, what gets emphasized gets done. What gets emphasized gets done. All right, well, preacher, where does God's faithfulness fit in here? Because, like I said, God doesn't stop being God when we stop acting like Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, "If we believe not yet, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." In fact, the Word of God tells us, I'm going to move from my outline a little bit here. He says, "Do you despise the riches and the goodness of his grace and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, God's good to us. And he would like to use his goodness and his long suffering and his forbearance to bring him unto us. How many of you would like your kids to listen just because they love you? You don't want to have to threaten them with a belt, with a switch. You don't want to have to do that, or not just threaten them, but actually carry it out. Amen. You don't want them to listen just because they're going to get a spanking. You don't want that. I don't want that. But sometimes it's the only way they will. And God's saying right here, you know, things hadn't changed much. He said, "Look, I've shown you goodness, I've shown you long-suffering, I've shown you forbearing, and I've given you all of those, hoping that they'll lead you to repentance." But, the next verse says, "But, after the hardness and impenitent heart, you treasureth up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." The fact is, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" God's faithful. Now, he's going to be faithful to love us and to bless us. But if that don't work, he's going to be a faithful father to chastise us. I mean, we can't get mad at him because he chastises us when we didn't listen when he was blessing us. When I was in the military in my army days, I was as backslidden as the devil. I mean, I tried for a little while to do right, but I was not a very strong Christian. I can't blame it on anybody. I wasn't a very strong Christian. I went into the army after being saved just a couple of years. And I mean, some people are, I guess, you know, strong enough to do that. I wasn't. Honestly, I got backslidden. And I've told the youth group this, I got away. You could not have looked at me walking down the street when I was in the military in Aschaffenburg, Germany, and said, "Boy, there goes a good Christian." You wouldn't have been able to tell it. I was backslidden. But I can't tell you how many times I laid in my bunk at night, literally, and I said, "God, please, please don't let me die with my heart in this condition." I mean, see, I was saved. I knew I was saved, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. And I wasn't living right, and the Holy Spirit would just, boy, convict me. And I was stupid for not getting right. And I made this stupid bargain with God. I said, "Lord, if you just get me back to the States, I'll serve you." Stupid bargaining. You can't do that with God. He doesn't bargain. And you know, things kind of, I soothed my conscience by believing that. Believed it. I believed it. Didn't mean God said, okay. I just believed it. And then, of course, if you don't repent, you know, and if you keep putting it off and quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, then pretty soon, you know, your conscience becomes seared and you don't feel the conviction like you used to. And as time went on, I was in touch with one of my friends over in Houston, He called me, and I had worked for him when I was laid off from the phone company. He had taught me how to be a goldsmith. He had his own goldsmith shop, and he taught me how to custom design jewelry and to repair jewelry and to set stones and so forth. And he had called me. We were in contact, and he said, "James, when you get out of the Army, what do you think about starting a second store and you running it for me?" He was in the Northline Mall in Houston, and he wanted me to open one up in another mall, and I would run it, and we would have two stores going, and I could have got a small business loan, a VA small business loan, and he would have matched it. He said, "You get what you can, and I'll match it, and we'll open up a second shop." And I said, "Man, sounds great." Boy, my dreams just started escalating. All the money that we could make, and all the success that we were going to realize. When I got out of the Army, when I got freed from the military, and I got back to the States, and we went and set ourselves up in business together, and boy, things, we were going to have a time. I really thought about that. And that was my plan. You'd ask me what it was. I said, "That's what we're going to do." So time came out, and some of you may understand these terminology, some of you may not. I got terminal leave. I saved all my leave time up, and I got out early. I got out almost 2 months early. But I didn't tell anybody. I was going to surprise them and just show up one day and just surprise everybody. And I got out, and I ended up at the Intercontinental, before it was called the George Bush, it was called the Intercontinental Airport in Houston. I called my mom. I said, come and get me. I'm at the airport. She came and get me, as surprised as I'd hoped she'd be. She came and picked me up, and we were on our way back home, and I said, man, I can hardly wait to see Steve. He has no idea that I'm coming. I said, man, he's going to be surprised. He's going to be excited. And my mom just looked at me, and she said, you did not hear? And it just shocked me. I mean, I knew something wasn't right then. And she was surprised that I hadn't heard. I said, no, what happened? And she said, Steve was smoking crack in his shop after the mall closed one night, and his heart exploded, and he died 5 weeks prior to my getting out. And I'm telling you, I do not believe that God speaks to us audibly. But just as sure as I am standing here in front of you this morning, God spoke to my heart as loud and clear as ever I ever heard it. And he said to me, James, I called you to preach, not to be a goldsmith. And I believe God took Steve home or wherever, because I couldn't tell you he was a Christian. But I believe God got him out of my life so that he could do with me what he wanted to do. And God woke me up. I wouldn't listen to his goodness. Wouldn't listen to his long-suffering or his forbearance. So he had to chastise me. But he was chastising me as a loving father. And it did its job. Some of us, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:5, it says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. How many times when God tries to get our attention through hard times, do we get cold and even harder? We read about that in the book of Revelation. We see that all the miracles that are happening right in front of them, all the phenomenal phenomena that God is allowing to happen in front of the lost people in the book of Revelation, and yet they turn their back and they shake their fist in God's face and they become even more and more vile and corrupt. And we look at that and we go, how in the world can they do that? But we do it. Because I'll guarantee you, there's some of us in here this morning that could probably put our finger on some hard times and say, yeah, I know God's probably trying to get my attention. Then wake up! Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Amen? He's faithful, and He will bless you or He will chastise you. He is faithful. The faithful God. The faithful God. But again, I just want to point this out, that the most shameful and heartbreaking thing above our backslidden heart is not only that He will chastise us, but that His love does not diminish one iota. And you understand that as a parent, as a father, when your child breaks your heart, you may have to chastise, but your love never diminishes, not one little bit. Now multiply that about 1,000 times or 10 million times or more times than you can even imagine. And that's God's love for us. When our children, when we go astray and when we break His heart, it's an unconditional love. That love is not based on performance. It's just based on God. He's faithful and His love is perfect and His faithfulness is perfect and it can't be added to or taken away from. I wonder if there are any in here this morning who, when the invitation is given, would make their way to the altar and say, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed that You're coming and at the rate I'm going. If You came back today, I would be. And I'm sorry that I've put You so far down on my list of priorities. Today I determine to change that. He is the faithful God. He's the faithful God when our hearts are blessed. He's the faithful God when our hearts are backslidden. And then let me finally say, He is the faithful God when our hearts are broken. When our hearts are broken. Tomorrow, I will drive to Wichita Falls to attend the funeral of 5-year-old Kendrick Little. Kendrick Little is the son of Alan and Alicia Little. Alan is a good friend of mine. I've known him ever since he was a teenager at our home church many years ago down in South Fort Worth Baptist Temple. And he's the brother of an even dear, closer friend named Sandy Little, who I went to Bible college with. Miss Tanya knows him and Brother Crawford knows him. In 2008, Kendrick began walking kind of funny. And he would walk and his head would kind of hang to the left as he walked. And they didn't really think about it until he started vomiting. And his vomiting became more intense. And so the Monday after Thanksgiving of 2008, he was diagnosed with a large tumor on his brainstem and a smaller one on his brain. He underwent a 15-hour surgery in which they removed the smaller tumor as much as they could of the one on his brainstem. They, from what I understand, I'm not a doctor and never been there, and from what I understand, they can't really touch the brainstem. They can work around it, and then they depend on radiation, I guess, to get the rest, something like that. Well, the months that followed were literally them going back and forth from Wichita Falls. He's the youth pastor, by the way, at Victory Baptist Church in Wichita Falls. Their months were literally spent with them going back and forth from Wichita Falls to Cook's Children's Hospital, and Kendrick has been on steroids since July of this year. KFDX in Wichita Falls carried this story March 17, 2009. It said, the five-year-old child who's battling terminal brain cancer got some encouraging news at his latest doctor's appointment. Last week, we brought you the story of Kendrick Little, whose parents have made a commitment to live each day to the fullest and to stay hopeful despite a grim prognosis. The day after our story aired, Kendrick went in for an MRI, and his parents say the doctor gave them wonderful news. It appears that the tumor has shrunk. Kendrick's parents say the doctor told them he's never seen this kind of improvement in a tumor before. The Littles will return to Cook Children's Medical Center in a month for another checkup, but they say they're praising God for this great news. I'm sorry, I know these folks, so this is real close to home. Gain my composure, excuse me. However, on Thursday the 10th of this month, Kendrick complained of being dizzy. And then on Saturday he began screaming, and I'm reading this because I actually called and I asked for the timeline. I asked Brother Sandy to give me the timeline of everything that happened. On Saturday he began screaming because he suddenly had gone completely blind. Last Sunday, a week ago today, the doctors found that the tumor had not only grown back on his brainstem, but had substantially enlarged. With no hope of survival, they sent Kendrick home, giving him just a few days to a few weeks to live. And then at approximately 1:45, and I ought to be happy, but it's just hard. Amen. You know, it's never easy when it's a child, is it? At approximately 1:45 a.m. this past Friday, Jesus took little Kendrick Little to heaven. And I called Alan's brother, Sandy, on Saturday night, this Saturday, and I asked him how Alan and Alicia were doing. He said, Brother James, they've gone through all the normal human emotions that any parent would go through, except they never blamed God for doing wrong. They admitted that they didn't understand, and they even questioned God why, hoping for an answer. But their hearts cry from the very beginning, and even now, as they make funeral arrangements, has been, and I quote, God is good, God is right. His Facebook, Alan's Facebook, after Kendrick's death, said this. I just read it. He said this, I quote, Kendrick has lost nothing and has gained everything. You want to know why? Because he's convinced that God is faithful. And you might be saying this morning, how do you see the faithfulness of God in the death of a child? Well, first of all, just commonly, just with common sense, I just want to say, God never said that we would be exempt from the trials and the heartaches and the tragedies of life. We cannot blame God for death because death happens. You can't get around death. We don't like the time frame many times, but it's going to happen. And I don't mean this to be funny. I really don't. I mean it to be a serious note when I say it, but heaven is not populated with just old people. We read of, you know, such is the kingdom of God. Even King David dealt with this heartbreak. When his child was very, very sick, he anointed his head with ashes, torn and sackcloth and ashes, and he fasted and he just went into mourning for days and days and days. And he prayed. But then when God decided to take his son home, he got up and he washed himself and he cleaned himself up and he began to eat. And his servants, in fact, said, King David, you're confusing us. You're doing this totally opposite. Now that the child's dead, now you should be mourning. But David understood what we understand. And he said, I prayed that God would save him, but God said no. And so now that he's gone, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. And he said, at this point, what's the point in mourning? I know where he's at, and I know I'll be there one of these days. So it is with Kendrick. That's why they can say that. That's why they can have the peace that passes understanding. In fact, the Word of God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes understanding. And people who don't know Christ and they're not a Christian and they don't know how we can do this, they don't understand. This is a peace that passes their thinking. God says, the peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 55 verse 8, I'm convinced. The Word of God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I wouldn't doubt that there are some in here this morning with a broken heart. And for many reasons. Maybe it is loss of a loved one, loss of a child. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's an unsaved spouse. I don't know. But I'm sure that in a crowd this size, there are some broken hearts. Brethren, the Word of God tells us in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't charge God foolishly, as Job's wife wanted him to do. The natural course of life sometime comes upon us in harsh reality. God sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. He causes His sun to shine on the wicked and on the righteous alike. He is the faithful God. All we have to do is acknowledge that and reach out to Him. He's ever near. He's never moved, not taken one step. He's right there. Let us stand this morning. I'd have the ladies come to the